This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I want my Chops TV.
You will be chopped.
Know what that means? Licking my chops.
Today I will show you how to do a karate chop.
Simply saying, no, he doesn't have the chops to do what it takes.
New thing, I'm busting chops.
Welcome to Chops TV, featuring Jennifer Lopez. Now here's Chops.
Yes, here is Chops. Also here is J-Lo. No Kit this week. She's with my parents right now. So we have a dog-free environment to do the podcast in. How does that feel,
parents, J-Lo? Parents go wild.
Parents go wild?
Parents go wild. It's like girls gone wild.
But for parents? I don't think that...
But for parents.
That just sounds like margarita night at the local watering hole.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Margaritaville.
It's actually just about 5 o'clock here.
Oh, so. Jimmy Buffett.
You like Jimmy Buffett?
Parents gone wild.
So from one of the great creators of our time, Jimmy Buffett, to another one, Wes Anderson, he has come out with another movie. And we saw it. We saw it earlier, most likely than you, unless you lived in New York or L.A. Or were like us, we're visiting New York or L.A. and got to see it a week early. We're special.
Unless you're also Wes Anderson, in which case, hello.
And he's probably seen his movie. That's true. Okay, so either people who live in New York or L.A. and Wes Anderson, everybody else, we likely saw this movie earlier than you. It is called Asteroid City, and it is a Wes Anderson film. And most of you probably know what that means. For those of you who don't, it just means it's very stylized, pastel colors, interesting shot compositions, and like surrealist aspects. Especially, he keeps getting like further from reality as he keeps making movies. Like Royal Tenenbaums is in reality, and then this one has its own reality inside a reality. But even the like main part is also weird and kind of a big idea, right?
Yeah, so what's this movie about, Mark?
Well, I guess spoiler alerts. Although I don't really know how I would spoil it for you. It's not a movie kind of like that with twists and turns. But spoiler alert for what it's worth.
Well, there's like one big spoiler.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And it's about a bunch of junior scientists going out to the American desert to compete for a scholarship by showing off their inventions. And they are visited by something. And it's called Asteroid City because that's where an asteroid landed. And there's a whole cast of characters. I mean, Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson, Steve Carell, Matt Dillon, Jeff Goldblum shows up for a minute.
Robust.
Adrian Brody is there. Margot Robbie has a part. It feels like as these casts keep growing.
Ed Norton?
Yeah, he's there too. Yeah. Maya Hawke. Like, I mean, you can't really stop. It just keeps going on and on. Of course, Tilda Swinton is there. As Wes Anderson keeps making movies, it does appear that, I don't know if people like the idea of like it's a different type of sandbox to play in as an actor because it's so stylized and it seems so much fun and you get to wear the cool, funky outfits, or if he just has a really good set feel and people through word of mouth say that he's great to work with and so everybody takes their shot. But his casts keep getting bigger and more star-studded as time goes on, to possibly a point where it's becoming distracting.
A detriment?
There's almost too many stars.
Yeah.
And in too small roles, which kind of confuses you at times because like that role is not for a star because it's a tiny little role and Matt Dillon is playing this mechanic, but he's in like four scenes.
Now, the Matt Dillon one I kind of get. like greaser guy, you know, that one makes sense to me. It's a Jeff Goldblum one that it's like, did it need to be Jeff Goldblum? But also it doesn't hit the same if it's not like a Jeff Goldblum.
And almost that's why it is a, it's not a spoiler with like what they're visited by.
No.
Because we, you're looking through the credits. It does kind of a, you know, an old school credits before the movie starts, and it's going through all these names and you're looking at them because you know all these names, and it says Jeff Goldblum as the alien. And so then the whole movie, I was like, well, there's going to be an alien. And then there was an alien. But the alien was also like, I guess it was probably CGI, but it was kind of going for like a stop motion feel.
I think.
But it wasn't stop motion. It was too fluid for that. But that's what it looked like. And I was like, well, Jeff Goldblum's not like, that's not a man in a suit. That's like a different, you know, something that they made. And I was like, how does Jeff Goldblum play? What part of it? At one point, the alien does clear its throat. And I was like, is that it? Is that, did Jeff Goldblum just give a and that was it? But then he does show up right there at the end. But still, with like, he has one line.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not really the point of the movie, though. But what is the point of the movie? That's the thing you have to kind of unpack. I feel like it would take multiple viewings, too, to kind of understand. I think it's a movie that you'd get a little bit more out of as you watch it.
Yeah. My initial thought was, well, is it about, like, navigating grief? Is it about, like, this like, singular event? And then everything after sort of sends you into like a hyper emotional existential crisis, except it's like so localized to this like group of people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I liked it.
I liked it too. There has to be something there though, because like the plot isn't really anything.
No.
It's barely a movie.
And we do have like a main cast of characters with the family. So if their major conflict is surrounding the death of their mother in the play, then...
And the two, the father and son in that family also kind of, I guess, rekindling love a little bit for Jason Schwartzman's character, and like your first love for the kid character as he kind of teams up with the daughter of Scarlett Johansson, who's playing a famous actress that everybody's enamored with at the site.
So the framing of this film is that we are watching some sort of like TCM documentary style movie about the making of a play by a playwright who's like very famous and has had a lot of hits, but who has also passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically like the making of that whole.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's sort of presented like you're a fly on the wall in these big events, but they're reenactments themselves of, and then
even the scenes that aren't in the frame of the play being put on are still acted out like a play being put on.
Right. And so those ones are in black and white. And then in Asteroid City, it's more real, where like they're in like tangible, like not stage sets, but it like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird to think like what level of audience you're at, where you're watching the play at a heightened level of what it actually is. And then at one point they go back and they're actually on set, and like everything's just a little bit cheaper in a way, because that's how a play would work. But like, he's got a fake beard, Jason Schwartzman, instead of a real beard. It's
like, how many layers away are we from actual like audience?
I think to me, the black and white stuff dragged it a little bit. I wasn't as into it.
Except for the one scene. I would agree with you, except for the scene where they go to like the actor's workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And Willem Dafoe is there, and they're like trying to, like, the playwright is trying to express something that's happening in the play, but he's trying to figure out how to make it seem like while these characters are asleep, they're all like, there's a passage of time where there's like a lot of inner turmoil is happening for them, but like, because the time just passes a week, like, we need to effectively get from one place to another place as an actor, but it's all happening while you're asleep.
Yeah, and they throw in that line there, which I guess this is one of the bigger spoilers, though. But they, where you can't wake up if you don't fall asleep, and so, like, it's necessary to get to these points for these characters, but all the actors are trying to pretend to sleep, and he's saying you have to actually sleep.
It like sleep and the, like, trauma processing, and then waking up is, like,
getting through that process, and
when or like waking up, like, a level of awareness, like, once the truth is out that the alien, like, aliens are real.
Yeah.
And is that, like, the waking up a la wokeism?
I don't know. It's like I said, I think it would be interesting to have the context of the full film and go back and see the earlier parts of it to see if, okay, now I get what this scene was leading to and what it's trying to say. Like I said, I think it's going to take something like that, because you're also still just following the main story. But again, the main story is not the point of the film.
Yeah, you're still trying to follow the plot of the play.
It's funny at the end when they're burying the remains of the mother, and Tom Hanks's character is saying that we don't have any rights to this burial plot. And Jason Schwartzman goes, it's hardly a plot. And he goes, I know, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And when they said that, I was like, I think they're talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Like, the plot of the movie is not the important part, not really what you're supposed to be latching on to. It's whatever the message is there about, you know, you talked about grief. Artistic process is clearly a part of it, too. It's...
Well, I think our biggest takeaway from the film was that having it set in this, like, this like, framing so far from reality that he just, like, gets to make it as Wes Anderson stylized as he wants without
real
criticism, because, like, it's already this, like, hyper-fictional world.
Once I understood the framing device and that we were watching, like, a play within a play type deal, I was like, okay, so is this Wes Anderson finally going, ha, you can't say anything about the style because it's all fake anyways, even in the movie. The movie doesn't take place in any sort of reality.
Yeah.
So it can be any style it wants. And it's like, I guess, Wes, if that's what you had to do. Is the framing device necessary for the movie? Could it be presented? I guess you have to do that to have the black and white scenes and to add the context of the actors playing people in it. So that's the other thing, too. It's layers of acting, where Jason Schwartzman is playing an actor who's acting in this play. So there's another layer there. The greatest layer of acting ever, though, is Nicolas Cage is playing a character who is pretending to be John Travolta's character, who is in Nicolas Cage's body.
Oh, my God.
A lot of layers in Face Off.
Why does it always go back to Face Off?
Face.
How do we always end up at Face Off?
Off.
I don't understand.
I think Face Off and Asteroid City share a lot of similarities. You can start by listing them.
Let's see. What else do I have to say?
Do you like Wes Anderson movies in general?
There are definitely a few that I like. Sometimes it's a little bit too much for me. Like, I really like Moonrise Kingdom.
I like that one, too.
There's one more that I liked that I, like, actually enjoyed watching it.
What's the really early one? Rushmore? I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I've never seen that.
I should see that sometime.
I've never seen that.
The thing with Wes Anderson is I do like the ones that I do like. I like the Royal Tenenbaums, like I said. I think, though...
Oh, the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
That one is a repeat view, though. Like, I didn't like it the first time I watched it.
Interesting. But
the more you like to watch it, the more that you...
Yeah, exactly.
Isle of Dogs is boring.
You don't like that one? He has a... Because it's so stylized, like, it gets a little... tedious sometimes.
Well, and so, like, everyone's talking like this and they're all giving the same face, and it's very tonal, and it's just, like, very, very one-dimensional, even though it's not, but it's all like this.
Yes, exactly. So I don't think I could watch, like, a marathon of Wes Anderson movies. I usually go for, like, one a year. That's enough Wes Anderson for me. I do like them, but it's just a lot to take in. That was a very good impression of it. And now people are doing the Wes Anderson TikToks where they're mimicking his style.
Where they just stand in. You know what? We should watch The French Dispatch because I have not seen that and I wanted to see it.
Is that one all in black and white?
No.
Can't remember.
I don't believe it is.
Okay. Yeah, we could watch that one. That is Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet.
Is Tilda Swinton in that one too? She's in like all of them.
I don't know. Yeah? I don't know. I know it's the other girly. Saoirse
Ronan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back to Asteroid City.
Yeah, you know what, too? I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it. Like, filmy people.
Well, yeah. It also isn't out everywhere.
Well, yet. It's out in New York and L.A., and the New York and L.A. film elite circles, I feel like, would be talking about it.
Everything just keeps getting taken over by Oppenheimer and Barbie discourse.
Yeah.
That's the movie event of the summer.
I know. I can't escape it. Did you see that the... oh, my God. I can't fucking talk today. Architectural Digest did a visit my home or whatever for the Barbie house.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
And it's pink.
Spoiler alert, it's pink.
So now we're doing the thing where we're talking about Barbie and Oppenheimer instead of Asteroid City.
It's the only story, it feels like. And on film Twitter too, I haven't even seen like, here are my initial thoughts or anything like that about this movie.
Do people feel like they've just gone through the whole rigmarole with Wes Anderson at this point?
Maybe,
and like,
it's a Wes Anderson movie. Maybe the novelty is gone, especially with the... But this is my issue with it. Why am I not hearing more takes on it when, especially on TikTok, that trend, the Wes Anderson movie trend, has been trending for like a month now?
And it's been trending because I think Asteroid City was coming out and people thought about it. And so then it's top of mind. But yeah, you're right. I haven't seen a ton of discourse on it. Maybe people need to see it. Maybe they don't
maybe,
get it.
Maybe.
Because I'll admit, I didn't fully get it.
No. I mean, I'm trying to get it.
Yeah.
But that's a take in and of itself.
Well, and that's also something to say. Like, at a certain point, if it's that hard to kind of uncover a message, maybe you are too bogged down in your style.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just stupid, though. That's also a possibility.
I was going to say, there's a difference between being, like, too high concept, like I think Christopher Nolan gets sometimes, like, way too high concept, and just, like, not having enough folds in your brain, which I do suffer from.
Yeah. You know what I heard about high concept once? That, like, it doesn't have to be something super complicated. High concept just essentially means that you can explain what the movie is in, like, one sentence. So, for example, like, a high concept movie could, like, a National Lampoon's Vacation is a high concept movie. Because it's just the trials and tribulations of a family going on a road trip. You know what I mean? You know what the movie is by just saying it. So, like, that's how, like, high concept doesn't always mean that it's... Now, there are a lot of high concept movies that are more complicated.
Hold on. So, what you're saying in this scenario is that a high concept film is one with a complicated plot that you can basically boil down to a sentence?
It's anything where you can, like, say what the movie is by, just like, here's the concept of the movie, and you would understand it. Like, you can't really do Shutter Island as high concept. Does that make sense? That wouldn't be,
I see,
in my mind, like, what? I heard this on the Sunny podcast. Rob McElhenney was explaining it.
I see.
And I trust Mac.
Okay.
Because you should. So
I guess I see what you're saying.
Would we recommend Asteroid City?
It depends on who I'm talking to.
That's fair. Now you're having me go through the list of people we know. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. I know who I would say. Yeah, for sure. Sometimes people surprise you, though, with what movies they like.
I mean, it is funny, though.
It is funny. I appreciate it. It's runtime of about an hour and 45 minutes. That's great.
Yes, it can't.
Make more movies like that.
It cannot be longer than that.
No, if we were getting into a 2 hour and 15 minute version of Asteroid City, it would be too much. I felt too with some of the actors that like some are Wes Anderson mainstays. Some seem to get it. There is a sense though where like are they just doing the thing because they're in a Wes Anderson movie at this point? And I got that feeling with a few of the characters. I think Steve Carell gave it to me the most of just like, he knows what it's supposed to look like here. And I think Steve Carell's a good actor, but yeah. I don't know. His character didn't fit it perfectly for me.
I might be obsessed with Scarlett Johansson, but I thought she was really great in it.
Yeah, she was good. And she was playing...
I think she gets it.
She was playing an actress. So she's herself playing an actress in a play where she's playing an actress and then acting out scenes that she's rehearsing
for a
character in it.
Yeah.
Talk about layers. Scarlett Johansson should be in Face Off too.
No.
That's what we need.
Why do we always end up at Face Off?
Face Off, high concept movie.
What is it?
Two guys switch faces.
Oh my God.
That's pretty high concept, isn't it?
Oh, can we talk about something else now?
What, you don't like the elements of what we're talking about right now?
Stop.
We also saw...
Stop it!
Elemental, the new Pixar movie. We saw that one early as well.
We did. And in 3D.
Yes, but that one is out for everybody at this point. It came out on Friday, but we got to see it on Wednesday. 3D, I take it or leave it at this point. I have no desire to like seek out a movie in 3D. I think the only one we've ever, you and me, I think together, the only one we've ever really done that for is Avatar 2.
Yeah, I don't know if I, like, it's almost to the point where like I found out that we got the tickets to the 3D. And I almost didn't want to see it because it was in 3D. So I would definitely not seek it out. Now, that being said, I'm not sure if 3D has gotten better.
It's like another level of higher definitions now.
Yeah, more, almost.
It's not the, whoa, guy reaches out into the crowd or they throw something and it's coming at you. It's like, it has just a little bit more depth.
It's the depth.
And it reminds me a lot. I think they've learned from what they've done with like amusement park rides. Because that's what I get the feel of more. Like, you're not doing the like physical stuff with the ride, but you know the Pandora, the Avatar ride Animal Kingdom. You feel the things kind of around you. And so I honestly didn't even really think I was seeing it in 3D. The only thing that like fully stood out to me was like the embers in the air around the characters. Those had like that depth to them and like a shimmer to them.
Some of the plant life.
Yeah.
Bubbles, stuff like that.
But I don't think it's necessary to see Elemental in 3D.
Best 3D movie ever made?
Best 3D movie? Spy Kids 3D.
Fuck you! You stole my answer!
You asked me a question. I'm not allowed to get the question right?
No.
Now you know it should be in 3D.
Because I was gonna say, no, Spy Kids 3D. That is the best 3D movie ever made. I cannot believe that we arrived there at the same time. We didn't talk about that before.
Yeah, I saw that for my birthday.
We should have done 1, 2, 3. Spy Kids 3D.
Did you see it for your birthday?
I don't know.
Well, because if I saw it for my birthday, our birthdays are close enough that theoretically that could have. Because you definitely, if you saw it in 3D.
Yeah.
Although I believe that was a home release 3D too, where you got the... You got the glasses.
They did do the at-home one.
The old school ones with the blue and red and stuff.
Dude, sick. What a film.
Face-Off should be in 3D.
Stop it.
Re-release it in 3D. I think I saw Titanic in 3D in a re-release once, too.
What? Why?
I was a young boy with his first girlfriend, and I was like, well, let's go to Titanic. But I guess we watched Titanic early in our relationship.
Is this?
That's not my move.
Wait, it's not my move. Is your move...
No.
The sinking of the Titanic?
No, I just love Titanic. It's in the news right now.
That's in the news right now.
That's scary with the like submarine. Have you heard about this submersible that it was just like something these guys made?
It was like their third trip or something.
Yeah, and it's not like a real submarine. No.
And it costs $250,000 per person.
It's wild. So I hope they find those people, but they're like, it's a ticking clock and it's getting less time. They had like, was it like 80 hours worth of oxygen or something in that realm? Or I heard that when the story was like getting out there, it was like at a point where it was like, they have 70 hours left. So that's really scary.
Yeah. I bet they're not going to be super interested in Titanic after this.
No. And Titanic, not my move. It just happened to happen twice.
That we know of, that you'll admit
I've not watched Titanic with any other pursuant romantic partner?
No, I don't like pursuant. I don't like
But if it was a move, it would have to be something that you think would like seal the deal or something, right?
Now, I get the car scene and the romance, but it ends on a really like a bunch of people dying.
I told you
in the
it's
ocean.
Not a move. It's not. I just like
Titanic.
Why would
you see it in 3D? Like, what about
it was like the
watching people fall and drown in the Atlantic Ocean? Says you know what?
It was some sort of anniversary. 15.
I wish
maybe?
I was in this. Let's do it 3D.
When did Titanic come out? Like 97. It must have been the 15th anniversary. 2012. That it must have been that. Titanic ends up in theaters every once in a while, anyways. Yeah. And I think that one. I think. That was during like when everything was in 3D. So I think they just re-released it in 3D. And obviously James Cameron is obsessed with 3D as well.
That's true. Was it his first foyer into...
Well, no, he had already made Avatar. But then he probably really fell in love with it at that point. I'd see Aliens in 3D. That's a James Cameron movie.
So...
Did you know Alien is Ridley Scott, James Cameron, and then David Fincher? Isn't that a crazy... triumvirate for a trilogy?
So Elemental.
Elemental. Back to this. You liked it a lot more than I did. So why don't you tell us what Elemental was about?
So Elemental is about little element people in this like little element world called Elemental City.
Earth, wind, water, and fire.
Yeah. And when they needed him most, he vanished. It is not Avatar, though.
So, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the band,
not like people,
but also water.
Yeah, it's not like people who control the elements. It's, like, physical elements.
Yeah, and they have the properties of those things.
Anthropomorphic elements.
So, the Earth ones are, like, balls of dirt that grow vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
The water ones are, like, kind of like amoeba-type people.
Yeah, almost like Osmosis Jones.
Kind of like that. The fire ones are literally just walking fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind ones are clouds?
Yeah, they're clouds, cumulus clouds.
Yeah. There was one point where a cloud got hit by a car and it ruined his shirt, but he just came back together. Are clouds not water?
They are
they're water vapor. Right?
Yes.
But when the water people got hot, this was a problem I had with the movie is... You don't know where the line of the properties of these
you
things go.
You won't even let me explain what it's about.
That's true. All right, continue.
Okay, so we are introduced to Elemental City when we have our fire immigrant family coming from their not Fire Island with Ja Rule, but their
Fire Fest.
Fire Fest.
But Fire Island is something too.
Fire Island is something. Anyway. Ja Rule wasn't in this movie. So they come from their little fire land to the city. And they're like setting up shop. But everyone hates fire because fire is very destructive. And they haven't built this city to accommodate fire people because they're a bunch of racist, prejudiced fucks. So they all...
And that's what the movie is about.
Right.
Kind of.
So the guy, Fire Daddy... I forget what his name is, but Fire Daddy ends up building the shop and...
The Lumens. That was their last name.
The Lumens. Ember Lumen, yes.
Yeah.
So with the hopes that his daughter will take over the business when he's ready to retire. Now, she grows up very hot-headed, temperamental, can't figure out why...
Because she's fire.
And can't figure out why she can't do the customer service aspect of what it takes to run this... shop.
I can figure out why. Customers suck. I've worked in a convenience store. It sucks.
When are we going to realize that the customer isn't always right?
I think we've gotten to that point.
What if the customer was having a bad day and the customer's just a fucking bitch?
Well, and the problem is, too, people took advantage of that and, like, will purposely be difficult to try to get... Like, that used to happen all the time at a certain chain restaurant I used to work at where you could tell... At a certain point, this person just wants to complain and, like, just wants a free appetizer or something.
I swear to God, I don't want your $20 that bad.
So, yeah, if I had the ability to go in the back room and turn into a larger fire and destroy something, I probably would have destroyed a few things in my time in service industry. Yeah.
So, super relatable. So, anyway, so Ember is it's an important day. He says, if you want to take over the shop, get it's through today.
The red dot sale.
Red dot sale. Yeah. Get through the red dot sale without losing your cool. And then you basically can take over. So she's trying, blah, blah, blah. It becomes too much. Honestly, terrible on his part. That was just like really bad planning. But she ends up bursting a pipe. And then our water friend Wade comes through the pipes. And it just so happens that he also works for the city. He's like a city inspector.
Right.
And the first conflict is, well, now he's got to write the shop up that it hasn't been coded. It's terrible.
Because the dad himself fixed it up, so it's not up to code. So he has to do that. So they're going to lose the shop if it's not up to code.
Right. So whatever. So they're trying to figure out a way to get around the red tape of the city so that the shop doesn't shut down, and they end up falling in love, which is our main conflict. Yes.
Because fire and water don't mix.
Yes.
No daughter of mine will be with a red-nosed reindeer. It's kind of like that.
Sure.
But fire is the daughter is the one that has more prejudice against them. Like, fire people don't like water people, but water people... actually are
well,
like,
specifically this fire family has been, for lack of a better, like burned by water people.
Yeah.
So, or by water in general, because it was just a storm that wrecked his village. It wasn't like water person.
Well, and who's responsible for the storm? Because as far as I'm concerned, clouds carry storms.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's,
interesting.
Again, but that's a problem I have with it. It's a little unclear, like what of these people being the elements is like actual something, because like they almost have superpowers in a way, and they're different, but I guess it's not that super because it's the same for every same type of element person, but they have different powers they can do. But at what point do they not? Like, how do the water people, they can get whooshed up in water and fly through a grate and go through the pipes, but they don't like constantly leak into the cracks of the ground. So how does, you know, you shouldn't, it's a kid's cartoon movie, so you shouldn't think about it too much. Overall opinion,
I was
going to
say, things I liked about it. Go ahead with your overall opinion.
I thought the story was a little too simplistic for adults and a little too complex without a true villain for children. But I could just be underestimating the ability of children to watch the movie and take it in. And it's certainly a good lesson to try to teach kids that you shouldn't be prejudice or racist towards other groups of people, but it's a little too on the nose too with the element people for me.
See, I liked this movie. Overall, I like this movie. I really like that it was just weird, that comment that you made about the villain. I didn't get it then. I don't get it now, because not every movie...
Kids need Jafar.
They don't.
Kids need Scar.
They for sure
kids
don't.
Kids need Sid, for a Pixar example.
Kids love Inside Out, and adults love Inside Out.
Inside Out has a villain.
It doesn't have a villain. It does not have a villain.
San Francisco.
I guess broadly San Francisco, but...
they put broccoli on pizza.
But the conflict of element of Inside Out is an internal conflict. Riley trying
it's
to
like, well, it's also like a societal issue. Oh, well, you're talking an elemental,
Inside Out. In Elemental, the real like the crux of the movie is this like relationship between Ember and Wade from two different worlds. That how are they going to make it work? Where obviously there's a little bit of there's aspect of like pride and prejudice where she just like can't get past like her own insecurities enough to like realize that Wade like really genuinely cares about her and like, you know, the opinions of her parents and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, the whole like star-crossed lovers type thing a little bit. But
like, I like that Wade, that the characterization of Wade is that he's like the really like emotional one. Mm-hmm. And like they like let the guy be like the very like vulnerable.
Which makes sense because he's water, so he cries a lot at any little like sappy type thing. At one point, Ember does cry, but she cries fire.
Flame, yeah.
Which I don't, again, don't think about it too much.
Don't think about it too much. But I really like that aspect of it. And I did enjoy watching their relationship come together, like against all odds kind of thing. And, you know.
Yeah. I get it. It wasn't for me. Yeah. I don't think I would turn it on again.
I will say,
I get that the little flower tree underwater in the bubble was really nice and
very
sappy.
Romantic.
Yeah.
And great kiss too.
But it's not quite Titanic in 3D.
Okay. Shut up about Titanic.
Would you rather I talk about Face Off again?
No, please stop.
I don't know. I guess it just wasn't for me. I wouldn't call it like a girly movie. I don't think it's that like clear of a line. I just don't think I liked it all that much. I don't think it
was
bad.
Which is fine. I mean, it's definitely not the best Pixar movie I've ever seen. But I think, I don't know if a lot of people are going to give it a chance enough to be. Because I will say that like the marketing for this has been really bad. I don't like, yeah. I don't know if the marketing has been bad or if people are just so disinterested in.
Well, I think it's because it's, you know, back to our high concept conversation. It's not high concept. It's, you have to really get in the weeds to like kind of understand this world and what's going on. Whereas like Toy Story, for example, is what if toys actually were alive when you were out of the room? You know what I mean? That's like simple and easy to connect to. When you see the trailer for Elemental, you do sense the romance and you do sense the like prejudice thing, but like there is no indication of all this city red tape. She does a quid pro quo to get rid of her fines.
Yeah,
and you know, packages up the crack where the water's going through. But you know what I mean? Like there's, but that's not the main part of the movie. Yeah. Anyways, that's like the side plot of the movie that leads to the main plot. I think that's, it's tough to condense that into a preview, especially when you're still trying to entice what it's really meant for, a younger audience. That's what Pixar, adults can definitely enjoy Pixar, but it is meant for children too.
But I think a kid gets it. You know what I mean? I don't think this is too in the weeds for a kid to understand that the rest of the city doesn't like the fire people. That's fair too. I was going to ask you something. No, I was going to say, when we first got out of the movie, you said it probably would have been a better short, or it's a good idea for a short. And I would imagine it probably started that way, like in development.
Yeah.
But they were like, ooh, there's something here. They really liked the idea and then like developed it out a little bit more, which, I mean, if you like the romance like I do, I think you're going to enjoy this movie a lot. If you're looking for something that's a little bit more like, I don't know, like Pixar-y, action-y kind of, I'm not sure what you're looking for, but it's probably not going to be your favorite either. Yeah. And I will say this also, the idea that like your parents are trying to like dictate your life and like you're trying to get away from them and like the familial trauma of like being an immigrant kid.
And feeling the pressure to like follow in the footsteps of like, oh, but dad, this shop is your dream.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, at the end, he's like, no, the dream was always you. And so that's like the third, there's like
but
three.
But haven't we seen that already? Like, I feel like Turning Red was a little bit like that where
I was thinking that during it too. Yeah.
The mom like, you know, is May, like you've got to be a good Asian girly and
now Turning Red.
Be good. And
is Turning Red Pixar or is Turning Red just Disney? I can't remember.
Turning Red is Pixar. I think it's Pixar.
Yeah, so that, I don't know. They're going down that route. And I guess that one doesn't have like a clear villain either. It's the familial stuff that they have to work through, which is what also,
that's
like
what
we
Pixar
said, that's
does.
Now.
Yeah.
I like Toy
Story. But they
Story
do it
better.
Really well. But they do it really well.
Yeah, I like I said, I think it's well made. I think another thing that leads me to believe that it may have started as a short is the animation style, especially of the fire people, is a little non-Pixar-y, and not in a bad way or anything. It just has like a different type of like texture to the characters and kind of the layers of the flames and everything, where it almost looks almost more like 3D, 2D, if that makes sense. Like it's not, they're not smooth edges of a human's cheekbone or something. There's a
what,
flame behind here and a flame there.
Thank you for reminding me of that, because that's what I found, just like animation style that I like the most, or I found the most interesting, was that usually with Disney or, you know, Disney Pixar, we get like human human character. So, like, you know, the detail, the level of detail is, like, very... It's impressive, but, like, obviously, like...
And also apparent, too, because, like, in, like, The Incredibles 2, there you can, like, see, like, the threads on his shirt.
Yeah.
And because we know what that looks like in real life. For this, there's not really real counterparts for what we're seeing on screen.
So, like, nailing, like, expressiveness of a character that's a person, animated person, is difficult, but, like, easier, right? They've been doing that for a long time. What I found really interesting was that they were able to do that with elements. So, like, discovering and figuring out a way, like, an element would move and, like, showing expressiveness without, like, real, like, you know, facial bone structure. Like, how would you express that? And, like, their ability to, like, manipulate, you know, their surroundings and stuff like that. And, especially like, work in their environment. Like, I found that really interesting.
The water people, yeah, are, like, probably the biggest part with that. Because it's... But they do make it work. But, like, how do you make somebody who's made of water also well up and shed tears of water? Like, yeah, and but working even, through like, that her, stuff.
The clothing was metal for the fire people.
At one point, she put on boots to walk on something that would be flammable.
When she was in the water city, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, they have to take more precautions and stuff.
That's a terrifying aspect of the movie, that, like, you're just constantly around things that if too much water falls on you, you just die?
You could be that's, extinguished? Yeah.
That kind of is the implication, and we actually think that... Spoiler alert! Spoiler! 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 We actually think... We actually think that Wade dies at one point because he evaporates. But luckily, he evaporates in a close place. And it's like, how much... Because the fire people can have a little bit of fire go out and then they can reignite it by adding some sort of fuel to their head, I guess. How much water... Like, what percentage of you needs to be there for you to be you again? Because, like, Wade starts to come back as more of himself drips into the bucket.
I think it must be very little.
But he's also conscious because...
But his dad died. And the mom died too. The grandma died. There's a very quick scene. Yeah. But like she just poofs out of existence. So can you die from old age? Clearly you can die from old age. But you could also die via a different element.
Yeah.
Wow. Which,
now I do get why fire and water maybe shouldn't mix. But they still manage it. It was very Rogue-like in X-Men. You know, where she can like... But she ends up with the ice guy in one point and like she can like make out with him for a little bit.
Yeah, she can touch him because he can. Yeah.
Yeah. And like couldn't like Wolverine take it a little bit because of his like regenerative property. So like they can kiss, but I'll be very interested if this is successful enough for a sequel to see where they go with it.
I'll go back to that kiss. It was a great kiss. I would rank it in like top 15 Disney kisses.
Top 15 Disney kisses. Well, that might have to be an episode someday. We'll go over here.
Top, I'd go far as to say it's top 12.
Is this a list they you would have to think about, sizzle. Or is this a working list that exists already?
It is a working list that exists in my head.
Who's number one?
My initial thought, Belle and Beast. That transformation scene, the Belle and Beast, the end of Beauty and the Beast, is like incredible. With the fucking fireworks and her hair starts to go flying and they were just rapping each other. It's incredible. That is magic. That's Disney magic. Second.
I was thinking Bear, Beast, Belle, and back. Okay, but second, best kiss.
Second, it's a toss-up for me. Would have to either be... Hercules and Meg, or Tarzan Jane. And I'm inclined to go Tarzan Jane because she hops off the boat and like runs through the water.
And it's Minnie Driver.
That means that Jane stays with Tarzan and Gorilla.
Simba and Nala don't really kiss.
No, but it is kind of hot though.
Though, and she gives them the nighttime eyes.
Let's make some cubs. Something better to do. Yeah.
Like that.
John Smith Pocahontas is another really good one. Aladdin Jasmine is a great one.
You have thought about this.
I know. And Aladdin Jasmine is probably up there. That would probably, now that I think about it, it would probably be like Belle Beast, Tarzan, Aladdin, Jasmine, Hercules, Meg, Pocahontas, John Smith. They kiss multiple times in that movie.
Okay.
So, good for them. So do Aladdin and Jasmine.
We're only counting first kisses.
They kiss twice. Then Aladdin, Jasmine kiss is definitely above John Smith, Pocahontas.
Okay. Good to know. And so Elemental now will probably slide somewhere into that list.
It's a great, you get an aerial shot, you get a 360.
You got like some boiling aspects of his body.
It's literal, they're sizzling together. They're creating chemistry, literally.
I thought they're, and maybe if I paid more attention watching it, you could notice these. But you know, I'm not just sitting there looking for Easter eggs, I'm trying to watch the movie, but I thought there was a fair amount of puns and playing with like that these are element people. I thought little Claude, which is spelled C-L-O-D, like dirt Claude, which I thought was funny. But he has like the little armpit hair that comes out and it's a flower. They made those little fireball snacks out of logs of wood that they just like crush together into a ball.
When she tempers the glass.
Yeah. And it's her temper that does it. That one, yeah, was over my head in the moment, but it makes sense now after you explained it to me.
Yeah.
Would
you recommend it?
I would say Elemental is probably one you can wait for Disney Plus, in my opinion.
I would probably wait for Disney Plus too, but I would watch it still.
They didn't do the thing though. Again, both these movies, great length, about an hour 45. Do that. Make more of those.
Yeah.
We don't need, especially movies that are like for kids to sit in theaters, they don't need to be over 2 hours. Just straight up don't.
No,
you don't have to do it. There's no more. There's no like added prestige by hitting the 2 hour mark. I feel like that's a big thing that people feel like, oh, a movie should be 2 hours. Doesn't have to be. If you have a great story and you can tell it in 95 minutes, go ahead. A movie does have to be above like 75 minutes
to make it just worth your dollar now.
Yeah, and I think. Is it 60? There's a number where like it officially does become a feature film versus a short film. Because like 45 minutes is not a feature film. But I don't remember what the exact number is. So
75?
Something like that. But either way, go ahead and make movies that aren't 2 hours long. That is my message to the movie making industry.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, and the thing with Elemental 2, if you're going to bring the kiddies, it is like very fun to look at. Like there's a lot going on. There are a lot of colors. Obviously, like the fire and the water, like there's so much happening that it can hold their attention for a while. And you know, there were a couple kids in our theater that really only like the babies were starting to get antsy and crying a little bit. And in which case, get them out of the theater.
Well,
do not let your toddler.
Yeah, I guess just like openly straight up cry.
Like wail especially for like 5 minutes straight.
Especially if you're staying in there because you want to watch the movie. Like, no, you're here with the kid. This is for the kid.
Yeah.
Make sure the kid's experience is good. But I also don't little things from kids or like comment. Like especially if they're interacting with the movie.
Yeah, and like,
point out something. Yeah, like this movie's for them.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
That I find enjoyable.
Now, adult movie that you for some reason brought your kid to.
Oh no, straight to jail.
Yes, not cool.
I see a single toddler in the Barbie movie, I'm going to scream.
Well, but they might scream then. And then you'd be just as bad as the toddler.
That's fair.
Oh, Outlander premiered this week.
Oh my gosh. Yes, are we going to talk about Outlander?
Yeah, what happened in the first episode?
Very exciting. Jamie and
Claire. We've hit time.
Don't do this.
We're out of time for this episode. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. You watch another episode. Maybe we can go two episodes at a time. Something like that.
Okay, like so, two episode plot succession kind of like.
Yeah. We'll get to it for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Chops.
I'm J-Lo.
Stay tuned.
Made possible by people who subscribe to podcasts and viewers like you.